Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you. I hope that you've had a good week. Last week, we looked at Job, and we looked at how Job felt that God had been unfair to him, and how sometimes in life we feel God is unfair, and how we can turn to God and how God will meet us where we're at, but God will change our perspective to see who God is and who we are in relation to God and how God is in control. I spoke about how we serve an amazing and awesome God. Today, I want to move into the Gospel of Mark, and I want us to look at this chapter 10 in depth, and there are three narratives I want to look at from chapter 10. All three teach us more about our faith and following Jesus. We have the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, "How can I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looks at him and loves him and says, "You need to give everything away to the poor and then come back," and the man goes away sad. We have the two disciples wanting positions of power and Jesus putting them in their place, talking about how he's come to serve, not to be served. And we have blind Bartimaeus, who's physically blind but really strong in faith. So let's start with the story of the rich young man. And I'm reading from Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Here, Jesus' answer is different from what we would have expected. And that's why I say we need to be open to God, because God doesn't always answer the way we expect God to. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God." So immediately, Jesus is almost putting him in his place. It's like, maybe it's flattery. Maybe he thinks the young man was trying to flatter him. "Good man, good sir, good Jesus. Here I come to you. I recognize that you're good. Tell me how I can inherit eternal life." And Jesus immediately points to God. And it's a lesson I think we're learning through all these readings. We always need to look to God. Only God is good. Then he says to the young man, "You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't defraud anyone. Honor your mother and father." This young man says, "Teacher, all these I've kept since I was a boy." He actually reminds me of Job. He's kept everything since he was a boy. He's a good, righteous person. Jesus looks at him and loves him. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus looks at this young man and loves him. I think all of us long for that love, and it's ours. Jesus looks at each one of us and loves us. So this morning, if you hear nothing else, I hope that you hear, Jesus loves you. Jesus looks at you and loves you. Then Jesus says, "This man, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he goes away sad because he has great wealth. So here we have Jesus telling him to give everything away that he earns. And it reminds me of that book that I've shared with you before, The Little Red Bird, where this lady has lost her husband and her child, and she's giving birth. She was pregnant when she lost them. She's giving birth to this child now. Doesn't have a husband with her. She no longer has the other child, and she's struggling to give birth. And she says, "God, what do you want from me? I've done everything. What do you want from me?" And God says, "I want you to want me. I want you to want me." In other words, what God is asking is for our hearts. We need to place God as number one in our lives, not our family, not our friends, but God as number one, not our possessions. God wants to be number one. And that's what this rich young man reminds me of, this parable of the rich young man. He's teaching us that we need to place God as number one in our lives. The man's face falls and he goes away because he has great wealth. It's not his great wealth that's a stumbling block. It's his love of the great wealth that's a stumbling block. And that's what we need to remember. Jesus then looks and says to the disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples are amazed at his words, but Jesus says again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." It's important. God wants God to be number one, not our wealth. Then the disciples are even more amazed and say to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looks at them and says, "With humans this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." God looks at us and loves us. All things are possible with God. Important messages for us to hear at this time. Then Peter speaks up and says, "We've left everything to follow you." So has Peter been righteous, self-righteous? We've done that. And Jesus says, "You know that you will be rewarded for leaving everything to follow me. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So here is Jesus being countercultural again. As we ponder that message, coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. If you've just joined me, you're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and I love being with you on a Sunday morning. Today we've looked at Mark chapter 10, and we've looked at the rich young man who comes to Jesus and asks how he can inherit eternal life, and Jesus tells him to give away everything he has and come back, and the young man is sad. We've heard that Jesus looked at him and loved him. We've heard how even things that are impossible for humans, that nothing is impossible with God. We're going to look now at James and John. So we're moving on in chapter 10, and we're told then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." I mean, isn't that quite cheeky? Jesus, do what we ask. Or do we perhaps sometimes do that to God and treat God like a Kentucky drive-thru? We put our prayers in one window and we're waiting for the answer in the other. We need to think about that. Teacher, do whatever we ask. Jesus actually doesn't reprimand them then. He says, what do you want me to do? And when we look at the healing of blind Bartimaeus a little later, we see that Jesus also asks him, what do you want from me? So perhaps we need to think clearly about when we're praying, expressing ourselves clearly and asking Jesus for whatever it is we want, hopefully according to God's will within the realms of God's kingdom. So they reply, let one of us sit at your right, the other at your left, in your glory. So they want the places of honor and power. When we reflect back on Job, let's think about Job. What did Job want? He wanted power, position, he wanted property, he wanted health, he wanted the family, because he felt he'd been righteous. And I think we see this here with James and John. Job wanted to be blessed because he had obeyed God. He wanted a reward. We need to want God because we want God, because we love God, not for what we can get out of it. Jesus answers and says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Now, what cup Jesus is talking about is obviously his trial, his torture, his crucifixion. We can, they answer. I don't think they understood what Jesus was going to go through. Jesus then said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they become indignant with James and John, and they obviously want to say, how could you do this? And perhaps as we think about it, do we sometimes become irritated with people, feel what a cheek, how could they ask for that? Perhaps we become indignant because we want that for ourselves. We need to ask ourselves that. What is spurring us on here? Is it our own motive because we want what they've already asked for? Jesus calls all of them together and says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. So here again, we see that the kingdom of God is different from our worldly values. It is countercultural, as I've said before. So we see that Jesus is speaking to them from a different place, and they might not understand. So what do we learn from this story? We could go back to the little red bird. I want you to want me, not the things that I bring for you. God wants us to love God for the sake of loving God, not for positions of power and privilege, not for positions of authority, but because we love God. We saw it in Job as well. We need to just love God because we love God. I think we also see here that Jesus is prepared to be with us no matter what we're feeling, no matter what we're discussing. We might be reprimanded by God, but we do get an answer from God. And again, Jesus changes the entire perspective of all the disciples. So we need to be open to seeing things through the eyes of God and not through our own human eyes with our own worldly values. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, be still for the presence of the Lord. And perhaps that, when we're just still in God's presence, that's when we recognize why we're here and how we should be in our relationship with God. We're in chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel this morning, one of the oldest manuscripts, and we've been looking at three narratives. We're about to look at the third one now. We've looked at two. We've looked at the rich young man who comes to Jesus and asks how he can enter the kingdom of heaven, And Jesus says, give everything away that you have and come back to me. We've seen how Jesus looked at him and loved him. We've heard how nothing is impossible with God. We've looked at James and John asking for positions of privilege and Jesus teaching them very clearly that's not what they're going to get. Those are for the people that it's already been prepared for. That isn't why you should be with me. We need to be servants of all. And now we read about blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. And we're told that they come to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with the large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. He hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth and he begins to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuking him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouts all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops and says, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumps to his feet and comes to Jesus. Here we see the question. What did Jesus say to James and John? He said, what are you asking for? Here he says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks him. The blind man says, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So again, we have that question, what do you want with me? As I said, we need to be prepared when we go into prayer to ask God for what we want, but obviously according to God's kingdom, according to God's kingdom values, which we know are different from ours, and if it is the will of God. What I learned from this is that Jesus hears the cry of the blind beggar, the outcast in society. Jesus hears us when we cry out to Jesus. I learned from this because the man did not keep quiet, even though everyone tried to keep him quiet, that we need courage and stamina and we need to be persistent in prayer. And of course, there's a story that we are taught. When your neighbor comes to you in the middle of the night and you don't open the door because the neighbor wants bread, but you're not going to get up in the middle of the night, the neighbor keeps on asking, keeps on asking, keeps on asking. He'll eventually get up and give him what he wants just for him to go away. And so we need to be persistent in prayer. We need to be at the gates of heaven persistently praying. And at the moment, I think we need to be praying for the world. We need to be praying for peace. We need to be praying for all those who are suffering. We need to be praying that God's kingdom will come, that God's light will come, and that we will live together in peace. So we need to actually be petitioning God at this stage. What I also learn is we need to ask plainly for what we need. Jesus says, what is it that you want from me? I need to see. That's what he asks for. I want to see. And we need to follow where Jesus leads. That's the fourth thing I learned from this, is following Jesus. When we look at all of these teachings, I think it's all about connecting with God. So how do we connect with God? There's a rabbi, Abraham Herschel, who says that three things and only three things are needed to help us to come closer to God and to connect with God. He says the first thing is God's willingness to love us. That's number one. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Remember those words. The second thing is our capacity as humans to receive the love of God. And the third thing is the moment in which these two realities meet. Herschel tells us that there is not a time in our lives or in our world where these three things are missing. God is always loving us. I think we need to remember this today. God is always loving us. We are always capable of receiving that love. We just need to open our hearts to it. And there is always a moment when we and God can connect. And when I look at these readings for today, I think in all of them, that's what it's about. Job, when we looked at Job last week, reaches out, moans at God, God meets Job. When we look at the rich young man today, Jesus looks at him and loves him. God's love is there. All that was needed for him was to open his heart to God's love. When we look at the disciples, while Jesus reprimands him, he's still with them. He still loves them. When we look at blind Bartimaeus, Jesus connects with him, and blind Bartimaeus receives his healing. So today, let's remember this. God is always loving us. We have the opportunity to be willing to receive that love. We need to be willing to receive that love. And there's always a moment where these two realities meet. And so we connect deeply with God. And I pray that this week you have a deep connection with God, that you feel God's presence in every part of your being, and that you know how much you're loved by God. To wrap up this morning, all over the world, and when I survey the wondrous cross, may God bless you and keep you and your family, protect you, and may you know the power of that connection with God and experience that love of God. Thank you so much for listening.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.